Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, growing pains sure do hurt in the moment, and none worse than what we experienced on Friday night in the Kings-Warriors battle inside the Golden 1 Center. But it makes it all worthwhile when you see lessons learned, new changes implemented, and success come out of failure like what we saw in Dallas last night. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for highlights, if you're looking for in-depth analysis and conversation, player interviews, local expert interviews, national expert interviews, this is your hub, and it all is centered around the best NBA team on the planet for the best fan base on the planet, the Sacramento Kings. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. I grew up a diehard fan of the Sacramento Kings team. I've lived in Sacramento pretty much my entire life. Have always loved the Kings. Grew into a career where I cover the Kings, and I get to bring some of my limited knowledge and hopefully my fandom here to this podcast as a platform to interact with you, the fantastic fan base of the Kings out there, the fan base that I fell in love with from a very, very young age and have been a part of since. If you are new to Locked On Kings, here is what I can promise you. Each and every single weekday, like I said, we always provide deep, in-depth conversation and updates, highlights, interviews, everything about the Sacramento Kings. So you can always count on that. I also encourage you to check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network because this entire network is perfect for sports. If you're an MLB fan, we have Locked On MLB. If you're a football guy, we have Locked On NFL. If you're a fantasy sports guy, whether it's basketball or football, we have fantasy shows. We also have Locked On college athletics and college sports, NCAA football and basketball. We have it all right here for you. So check out the rest of the podcast network, but make sure the Kings is always your home, always where it started, and Locked On Kings is your hub that you make sure to tune into each and every single weekday. A lot to talk about here as we have had two games since we last spoke. On Friday's episode last week, I spoke with Kyle Madsen, my co-worker at KHDK and diehard Golden State Warriors fan. Many of you didn't like the fact that I had a Warriors fan on the show, but also you enjoyed the conversation for the most part from what I understood from the feedback that I got. Kyle was great, and we had a great conversation. I don't think we predicted the game to be as good as what we got, though. Unfortunately, the Sacramento Kings lose, and they do so in just the most painful fashion possible. The Kings went on this epic run at the end of the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, built a double-digit lead, a 10-point lead on the defending champion Golden State Warriors, who had led for the entire game up until the fourth quarter. Kings have a 10-point lead with just over 3 minutes left, but the Warriors do what they do best. At full strength, with the exception of Andre Iguodala, who did not play, they relied on Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry to get themselves back in. They went on a massive run of their own, end up stealing the victory away from the Kings inside a absolutely rabid and crazy Golden 1 Center. Was a lot of Warrior fans there, but even more Kings fans. The place was loud. It was really a playoff atmosphere, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. We got probably one of the best basketball games you're ever going to see. Ended in disappointment, though, as once again the Kings did lose 130-125. I have highlights for you from this game to play, because rather than me just tell you about it, you need to hear the energy from the G-Man Gary Gerald's radio call on KHDK, because you can hear the fan base in the background through this entire game going nuts, going crazy, especially when the Kings went on that run. So you'll be able to hear that and experience that for yourself here in just a little bit. Then I have audio from Dave Yeager, I have audio from De'Aaron Fox, and I have audio from Draymond Green speaking about this game. So I'm going to be playing all of that coming out of the highlight package on the other side. We'll also break down this Kings-Warriors game, and then we'll move on and talk more about the win that the Kings had last night in Dallas against Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. But without further ado, sit back, relax, and just feel the energy from this Golden 1 Center crowd as the Kings battled the Golden State Warriors to the very, very end.
Ocean on top. Bogey changes direction, goes right, feeds into the pocket. Collins tied. Full extension for the two-hand flush. Willie's got eight. Coming out of the timeout, you may have heard in the pregame show, Steve Kerr complimenting Dave Yeager on how well his clubs execute coming out of timeouts. Well, there was a classic example right there. Warriors are 13 of 18. They've gotten 18 shots up already in this ball game, and we have yet to play 7 minutes. Belly open on top. Another triple. You betcha. Nemanja Bjelica has 10. He knocks down the three. Cuts that 6-point deficit in half. Buddy Hield to the near wing to Fox. Right back to Hield. Right back to Fox. Shakes. Now drives into the paint. Drops to the pocket. Turnaround. Hammer. Thrown down by Willie Cauley-Stein. Boy, that was nice execution. De'Aaron Fox with a setup. His fifth assist of this first half. De'Aaron Fox grabs it. Now he accelerates across the heralding line. Drives the right side of the lane. Dumps to the left wing. Hield steps left. Eludes a defender. Launches for three. Another three-point shot is missed. Here comes Thompson on the run. He drives. Kicks to the corner. Curry for the triple. Nothing but net for Steph Curry. And it's now 74-60 in favor of the Warriors as David Yeager calls timeout. Here is Durant driving. Oh, he stumbled. Lost the ball. Turnover, Warriors. Grabbed by Fox. Leads it ahead to Shumpert. Shumpert back to Fox. Straight away, transition three. He's got the triple. The De'Aaron Fox show is suddenly gaining great momentum. He's got 21 points. And the Kings, trying to get back in this ballgame, are down 9 at 96-87. Steve Kerr decides to call the timeout. Bogey against Klay Thompson. Nice screen set by Kostas. Back to Hield. He's open for three. He slides it home. This is a three-point ball game at 103-100. Hield has 20. Kings are now 12 of 35 from downtown. Percentage creeping upward. Exactly what the doctor ordered. Two rotation players out. Meanwhile, Bogey gives the Kings their first lead of the ballgame. A three from the right wing. Sacramento's on top by two at 107-105. He's driving. He kicks to the corner. Justin Jackson tees up the three. He's got that triple. Sacramento with a seven-point lead. It's 112-105. Pandemonium among Kings fans. They're literally jumping up and down in the lower bowl. This is a tough matchup for Justin. Durant rocks, fires, and hits two. Score tied at 113 apiece. Kevin Durant now coming to life. He's got 25. Curry has 29. Thompson has 24. The big three with big numbers. Hield launches. Hits the three on the left side. He was challenged by Thompson. Lead back up to six. 119-113. 25 points for Buddy Hield. Durant drives off balance. Leaner around and out. Rebound gathered by Fox. Pushes up the floor. Long deep pass. Goes to Hield. He's challenged, but he scores against Kevin Durant. It's 121-113. The Kings have their biggest lead. Steve Kerr calling another timeout. Still have over 5 minutes to go in this track meet. I wish I could somehow audibly put into words the emotion in this building right now as you look around and you just see countless Kings fans standing, bouncing up and down, applauding the effort in this second half comeback by Sacramento. Ahead of Durant, accelerates on Jackson, spins to his right, goes to the rim, draws the foul and scores. 3-point opportunity for Kevin Durant. We talk about how difficult the matchup is for Justin Jackson, and Kevin Durant is just feasting in this fourth quarter when the Warriors need it most. Kings fans coming to their feet. De'Aaron Fox on the near wing, controlling the dribble. Gives to Bjelica. Back to Fox. Fox now invited to shoot. He does from 18. He scores the bucket. 47 seconds to go. 125-123. Puts an end to the 10-0 Warriors run. Durant to Thompson. Quick release for three. He's got the triple, and the Warriors have regained the lead. It's 126-125. 35 seconds to go. All part of the process. You have to learn how to win in these situations with the young Kings. Curry hits both free throws. Kings inbound to Hield. Only a second to go. Buddy gets off a three. It's good, but it was waved off. It was too late. And the Warriors get the win by a final score of 130-125. Credit the three-time NBA champion Golden State Warriors. Three championships in the last 4 years. They were really tested in this second half by Sacramento, and they came back. They answered the challenge as time was running down late in the fourth quarter, and they got the victory by 5 points. Jumbo Jack.
Great call there by the G-Man. Again, fantastic energy inside the Golden 1 Center. It's like I said, the Kings went on this epic run to end the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. Really, I was shocked. I was standing there. My eyes were almost falling out of my head just watching what the Kings were able to do, because they kept coming back and getting within 6 points, 4 points of the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors had hit a big three, or they'd get some kind of production from one of their big three of Durant, Curry, or Thompson. And the three of them combined for a massive amount of points. I think it was over 90 points were scored just by the three of them. Durant finished with 33, Curry finished with 35, Klay Thompson finished with 27. But the Golden State Warriors, they needed to pull out all the stops to be able to win this game. It just was a phenomenal performance. The Sacramento Kings got a lot of great output from their big three as well. Buddy Hield, 27 points. De'Aaron Fox, 25. Willie Cauley-Stein provided 22 points. Nemanja Bjelica also had 18 points on 4 of 5 shooting from three-point range. The only sad thing or bad thing about this game, besides the fact that the Kings lost, was the fact that Marvin Bagley went down with an injury. It was early in the first half. Marvin was going for a rebound, came down weird on his knee, was limping off the floor, was helped all the way into the locker room, and we assumed the worst. We were fearing the worst. Underwent an MRI, and it came back that he just had a bone bruise, which is fantastic. No massive damage, no AC, or no, just no issues other than just a bone bruise. So he's going to be reevaluated in 10 to 12 days, at least from then. So about 10 to 8 or 8 to 10 days now. And after he's reevaluated, they'll decide if he's ready to go or ready to return or not. So it's good news that he is okay and that it wasn't any worse damage. Anytime it's a non-contact injury with a knee, you always get terrified. You always get afraid, especially for young, athletic bigs. So good news that Bagley certainly did not have anything worse. And the Kings definitely could have used him, especially down the stretch, to get some defensive stops and to provide some offenses. The biggest gripe that I had with the Kings in this game is the fact that even when they were up 10 with 3 minutes left, they took a lot of quick shots early on in the shot clock. Now, that's their pace of play. That's their style. And had they knocked down one or two of those shots, maybe the game would have ended. That would have been the nail in the coffin. The Kings were going for the kill a couple times. They just could not get it. Warriors came back on the other way. They're clinical with their opportunities. They end up winning the game. So my biggest gripe was that, hindsight's 20/20. You're looking at this game like, man, just hold on to the ball a little bit longer. Hold on to the ball a little bit longer. Try and waste time so they don't physically have time to come back. But I recognize what the Kings were trying to do, so I don't hold that too far against them. Also, I got into it with a couple of fans on social media, and I don't usually get too hot or fired up and angry with fan takes and things like that. You know, you have your opinions. I have mine. But when I will get upset and I will get frustrated, and by the way, you can interact with me and follow me on Twitter at any time, at MattGeorgeKHTK. I'll also follow you back. Just let me know that you listen to the Locked On Kings podcast. I would be happy to follow you back and get into great conversations with you. But I was interacting with this gentleman who was making these really asinine, stupid, ridiculous comments that Marvin Bagley is now becoming injury-prone. Now, he had the back injury earlier on this season. The Kings held him out for multiple games to err on the side of caution, not because he needed it. The Kings erred on the side of caution, recognizing it was a long season. They were still playing well, even without him being in the lineup, so they were able to take their time, bring him back, make sure he was 100% healthy before bringing him back into the fray. They were protecting their long-term investment in their number two overall pick. That's what they were doing. That's why they held him out for 3 to 4 games with that back injury. This was a completely separate situation. This was a basketball play that he went up for a rebound, was bumped in the back, and took a bad spill, and his knee just hit at a bad angle. You can't call anybody injury-prone for that, and you can't call anybody injury-prone for 30 games into their career, regardless of how much time they've been hurt. And again, he missed 3 games with a back injury. Now he's missed a game and a half with this knee injury. He's going to miss another 3 or 4. That's not injury-prone. So anybody who's trying to spew that garbage, trying to spew that crap, really all it is, it's just projecting another criticism upon a player that you didn't want the Kings to go out and draft. You're projecting criticism upon him based upon an injury, and you don't wait even a day, an hour after his injury gets hurt to make claims like that. It's garbage to me. Gross. It's disgusting. Never, ever, 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 ever use injury issues for a player and potentially serious injury issues for a player to criticize their game or criticize their work ethic or anything like that. It's absolutely out of line, and it's just not okay. It's really just not okay. But anyway, moving on off of that soapbox. Sorry, I got on that for a little bit. But going back to the game itself, like I said, the Kings had multiple opportunities towards the end to put the game away, went for a bunch of quick shots. Unfortunately, could not get the job done. Dave Joerger was scrutinized a little bit for towards the end. The Kings were down by either 2 or 3 points. I can't remember. I think, yeah, they were down by 3 points. And they needed to come back the other way, hit a three-pointer to tie the game late. They had a timeout to use. They did not use it. Dave Joerger's explanation for it, which you're going to hear in the clip here, is that they had too much time on the clock, he thought, to take the timeout and go for the three. He would have rather had the team go, score a quick two, play the foul game, and then use the timeout if the Warriors hit two free throws or anything like that. So here is head coach Dave Joerger's entire post-game press conference. It's about 3 or 4 minutes long. You'll hear his explanation for that, talking about the game. He was very pleased with his team's output. He just gives you a good rundown of how this game ended up.
That was a good game. Really proud of our guys. We battled like crazy coming from behind and pushing that thing out and playing with a lot of energy, and they just got us with their experience at the end. We struggled to finish some shots once a lot of their switching happened in the last 3 minutes of the game. They made some plays, but we made some mistakes, and they made us pay. And you know, they're a good team and well coached, and happy for them. And you know, it's a crappy feeling for us. We just didn't make enough shots, but we're getting in a little bad habit here. We're going to have to start guarding. We cannot just allow people just to go past us on the perimeter, and that was the case in the first half. And you know, they're good, but I mean, mercy to give up 76 in the first half was tough.
What is that, in your opinion, Dave? Is it a personnel thing? Is it a lack of practice thing? The guarding issue, because I know you were talking about it in the timeout. Where do you see that arising from?
Well, just, you know, guys got to get better at it, just guarding basketball one-on-one, and as they get older and more experienced and bigger, stronger, faster, and we'll hopefully have that opportunity.
How difficult is it for you through the course of a game to have two guys go down like that in such a close game and have to adjust to bringing guys in to fill those spots?
Just what I have to do is what I have to do.
Coach, realizing, you know, hindsight's 20/20, what were you seeing there that in that kind of final play down three, you know, you didn't call timeout, and what you wanted to see in that regard?
I see a very teachable moment.
For
what we were trying to do, yeah. I mean, I can call timeout and get that shot. So what we're trying to do in that situation, I only have one timeout left, trying to go put the ball on the floor, get to the basket. If they help off, you get an open three. They don't want to help off, and they don't want to foul. We're trying to get a quick two and extend the game, try to foul. Maybe they miss, and you're down two. If you don't miss, then you drop your three-point play, and you get one at the end.
And then just Justin Jackson, him especially in that second half. I don't know if you touched on it before I walked in, but the defense he had on Durant, at least making, he was in his face. I know Durant shot over him a few times, but just what did you see from him?
Yeah, I thought Justin had a nice ball game. So, you know, they battled him, and you know, those guys are bigger, and they're great players. You know, and I thought, you know, he did a great job of we talked about it in the huddle. You know, just keeping your chest in front of him. If he makes a shot because he's 6'13", then he does. You know what I mean? So,
Dave, how much are games like this just kind of a part of growing up?
Yeah, I'm not thinking about that right now.
Okay. Those last couple minutes playing with the lead, did you guys get them a little more stagnant than you would have liked offensively?
Yeah, we stood and watched too much, and you know, we're not at a level where we can, you know, ISO and, you know, where you can close games, and you know, you get the ball to spots to dudes, and that's what they do and make those plays, and we're still learning what we're trying to do and what we're trying to get the ball, and we do, we struggle in the half court to score, and so that's why we have got to keep attacking until there's 10 seconds left in the game and playing as fast as possible.
So those are the comments of head coach Dave Joerger following the game. Let me know on social media at @MattGeorgeKHDK if you like his explanation of why he didn't take that timeout, if you don't think that was the right choice, or if you think that was the right choice. Regardless, let me know at @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also reach me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Before you do that, though, take a listen to De'Aaron Fox's comments following the loss.
What happened in the last 3 minutes when you guys kind of went cold?
I mean, just...
you know, stop moving bodies and just didn't make shots, period.
How much of this is a learning experience for a young team against a really good
It's definitely a great learning experience. You know, we made some mistakes that, you know, young teams make, and we just learned from that. You know, sometimes shots don't go down, but, you know, we made a few mistakes that we can't make. We had a few breakdowns.
How different is it when you attack off the inbound in that late situation as opposed to Dave calling a timeout and drawing something up?
Sometimes I guess, you know, teams don't expect it, and we did it. They fouled, but, you know, it was, you know, to really step their defense up. They knew they weren't in the bonus, so it was just a good defense play by a vet savvy team, and it's just something, you know, we can really learn from.
Did say something about where you guys are, that you're going toe-to-toe with this team at full strength?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're working. I think we play the game at our pace, you know, the entire game, but I mean, that's a great team. They're going to make shots. You know, we went on a run in the fourth quarter. We got stops when we needed to, and, I mean, you know, we had those breakdowns at the end of the game that, you know, cost us the game.
You guys stagnated a little bit offensively the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. That, a few good defensive breakdowns, you know, one like leaving play open, just little things like that.
You haven't played playoff basketball, but that atmosphere tonight, did that feel different?
I don't know. I don't know what playoffs feel like yet. So, but I mean, it was a great game. You know, a lot of Warrior fans come up in here, and but I think we played a great game. You know, we really fed off the energy here.
You're in the half court. What type of things do you learn from a game like this in terms of half court execution?
I mean, at the end of the game, you have to execute in half court. You know, we try to play as much transition as we can. And I mean, those last 3 minutes, we just struggled a bit.
Now, I have a Draymond Green clip here for you, and I know some fans are going to question, why in the world am I using Draymond Green and Golden State Warrior audio here on the Locked On Kings podcast, but it's because he had some great things to say about this Kings team. So many players around the league and just people around the league are starting to take notice of how good this Kings team is. They're not an easy win anymore. They're moving in the right direction. They've been getting compliments left and right, and Draymond Green had some great things to say about the Sacramento Kings, the direction that they're going following the win in Sacramento. Take a listen to what the very outspoken Draymond had to say about this Kings team.
They're playing well right now. I'm sure at some point with a young team like that, they'll hit a rough patch, probably lose 3 or 4 in a row. But, you know, having a leader like, you know, a guy who's won a championship like Shump, you know, Z-Bo, you know, those guys to kind of help pull those guys through is going to be important. But, man, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with soon in this league. You know, they're already tough. And, you know, De'Aaron's confidence is sky high. Willie's playing with tremendous confidence. Bogdanovich, Buddy, you know, they're playing with a lot of confidence. So, you know, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for sure. And sooner rather than later.
So the Kings lose a heartbreaker. They blow a 10-point lead with only 3 minutes left. But they would have an opportunity to learn from that, to build upon that, and to bounce back from that just 2 nights later, taking on the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. Now, coming into this game, the Mavericks had only lost 2 games at home this season. It was also a big night for them, as it was the season debut for the legendary Dirk Nowitzki, who's probably in his last season of his career there in Dallas. It was also the first time the Sacramento Kings met and played against Luka Doncic. Now, unfortunately, Marvin Bagley was playing, so we didn't get to see Bagley take on Doncic. Not that they would have been guarding each other, but we would have seen the two of them go right at each other in the same night on the same floor. We were robbed of that, but we were not robbed of a good game. It was a great performance from De'Aaron Fox, and the Kings once again got the opportunity to show what they learned from that Golden State Warriors loss, as they again built a double-digit lead late. Could they hold on to it, though? Take a listen to the G-Man's call, and you figure it out for yourself.
In transition, Bogdanovich drives it into the paint, goes to his left, scoops with the left hand, and scores, and the Kings have a 13-4 running start in this one. 8:21 on the game clock as Rick Carlisle calls timeout. De'Aaron Fox matched up with Luka Doncic. How's he going to try to use him? Shakes right, goes left, pulls up, 15-footer. He drains it. Nice job by Fox. He's got 8 points. Kings lead by 4 at 19-15. We hit the 5-minute mark in quarter number one. Here is Doncic trying to create space. Can't. Gives it up to Jordan. Gets it back. Fakes the three against Bogey. Yet to put it on the floor. Now he takes 2 dribbles, goes to the corner. Fadeaway three, and he hits it. That's a tough shot right there by Luka Doncic. 54-48 in favor of Dallas. Buddy Hield gives it up now to Bogey. Bogey goes baseline, looks off a defender, scoops it up, and scores it, and the Kings regain the lead. Sacramento back on top by one at 55-54. Bogey, who got the start tonight, with 9 points now. Seven unanswered for Sacramento. Doncic off the bounce, pulls the dribble back now. Defended by Justin Jackson. Deep wing three, way off target. Grabbed by the Kings. Costa steered it to Fox. Behind the back with the dribble. Shot clock off, 4 seconds to go. Gives to Heald, but he's got to create. Jab step, fall away Jay. He's got the bucket. It's a two ball with 6/10 of a second to go. The inbounds pass will do it. That's the end of a very entertaining first half. Kings 61, Mavericks 58. Here's a teardrop set up here for Powell. Can't convert from Doncic. Grabbed by the Kings. Yogi Ferrell explodes up the court. Weaves right, then left. Goes to the rack. Twists and scores. Yogi Ferrell with an end-to-end push. And Rick Carlisle going to take timeout once again as the Kings are now up by 8 at 89-81. Ferrell drives left, wiggles right, pulls up 15-footer. He's got the bucket. The ex-Mav gives the Kings a 12-point lead. Sacramento on top, 93-81. It's their biggest lead of the ballgame. Gives it up now to Bogey. Bogey with a high screen from Costa. Rolls right, hands it back to Ferrell. 10 on the shot clock. Another screen from Costa. Pass goes over to Bogey. Deep wing three. Score it. Bogdanović knocking down the deep right wing triple. Makes it 96-86. Bogdanović now has 13 points. Bogey also has 7 rebounds and 5 assists. In this ballgame. Here come the Mavericks on the move. Wesley Matthews throws a bullet to the wing. Got a three on the way that's missed by the Mavericks. Fox with the rebound against DeAndre Jordan. Races up the floor, weaves to his left, protects, puts it on the glass and scores. He started right, then went hard left, and he took it straight to the basket, used the right side of his body to protect against the defender and converted. 100-91. Here's Fox wiggling free in the paint, and he scores. He circled around two defenders from the low left side to the low right side, squared up in traffic, and hit the little floater to make it a 112-101 Sacramento lead. Carlisle calls timeout. The Kings had a 10-point lead with just over 3 minutes to go against the defending champion Warriors the other night, and that lead was not enough. Will it be enough tonight? Here's Fox dancing with the dribble. Crosses right. Floater in the lane. He got it as time expired. Huge basket from De'Aaron Fox for Sacramento. Makes it 114-107. Fox now has 28 points. He works with the dribble on the wing. A little tentative now. He starts to move. Feeds Colestein to the rack for the two-hand hammer and a dagger. 116-107. Great execution. May have lulled the Mavs into a sense that it was going to be Fox all the way one-on-one. 116-108. Here comes Fox. Sets up another alley-oop. Another conversion for Willie Cauley-Stein. And this ball game is all but officially over. Rick Carlisle walks out onto the floor, eyes up toward the upper reaches of this building, having called timeout. 37.9 remain.
Well, you talk about lessons learned. How about the very next game? Very similar situation. The Kings up double digits with a few minutes left to go. And this time they were able to hold on to it and to even build upon it at times. The final as the Kings beat the Dallas Mavericks. Only the third time this season the Mavericks have lost in Dallas. The Sacramento Kings do a really great job, really, from start to finish. Luka Doncic was fantastic. And we're going to talk about Luka Doncic and his numbers here in just a second. But the Kings get the win, 120-113. Win number 16 on the season and win number 9 on the road, which is absolutely incredible to say for this young Kings squad. They did the job they needed to do. They were outscored in the fourth quarter 30-27, but did a good job in the third quarter creating some separation and building off of a very slight halftime lead that they had. They were led by an excellent performance by De'Aaron Fox. He finished with 28 points, also had 5 assists, 11 of 19 from the field, also was 6 of 6 from the line, which is fantastic. He also provided 3 steals and a block. He guarded Luka Doncic for the majority of the game and did a fantastic job. Now, the Kings' backcourt is drawing attention all over the league. Kings backcourt, statistically right now, and I'm talking about De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, is one of the best, if not the best, in the NBA offensively. And they did it again. Buddy Hield also finished with 28 points on 12 of 23 shooting, 3 of 9 from three-point range. So it wasn't even his sharpest night, and he still collected 28 for this Kings team. Every single starter scored in double digits. Iman Shumpert is out with a knee contusion right now, so he is not playing. Or, I'm sorry, a hip contusion, not a knee contusion. A hip contusion. He is not playing. So Bogdan Bogdanovic got the start at the small forward spot. He provided 15 points in 37 minutes. He also got 15 points from Nemanja Bjelica and 12 points, 8 rebounds from Willie Cauley-Stein. I mentioned Luka Doncic had a fantastic game. That's because he's a damn good player. He had 28 points of his own, 9 of 15 shooting from the field. He only went 1 of 5 from 3-point range, so a bit of a bad shooting night from deep for him. Also had 9 assists, 6 rebounds, and a steal. DeAndre Jordan had a monster game rebounding the ball, 23 rebounds for DeAndre, but I know he's getting a lot of criticism in Dallas and around the league for his laziness on the defensive end of the floor. He did have 3 blocks, but even that's not all that impressive for a guy like DeAndre Jordan that could really honestly collect 6 to 7 a game if he really wanted to. But here's what I have to say about this, because I know we've debated so many times about if Luka Doncic was the right pick, if the Kings made a mistake picking Bagley over Luka. We've had plenty of conversations about it here on this podcast. We've had plenty of conversations here all over any media outlet in Sacramento that covers the Sacramento Kings. All I want to say is this, and I tweeted this out. I believe that Luka Doncic is going to be a phenomenal player. I love watching him play. And he did great against the Kings. He played well. Luka Doncic is probably going to be the rookie of the year this year. And I think he's the perfect fit for the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know how well he would have fit here in Sacramento if Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox would be having the seasons that they're having if he was here. I know you can bring up the argument that I most get to counter that point is the point of you're afraid to take the ball out of the hands of De'Aaron Fox by bringing Luka Doncic. You can counter that point with the, well, if you had added MJ to Kobe or Kobe to MJ, things would have been fine. We've seen stars pair before. I know, but these guys aren't stars yet. They are going to be or should be, but they're not stars yet. So I don't know how well Luka Doncic would have fit here if the Kings had drafted him and if the Kings would be at the same point better or worse off if he was in a Kings uniform. We'll never know. But what I do know is that the Kings beat Luka and the Dallas Mavericks last night without Marvin Bagley and Iman Shumpert, who's arguably their best defender. I do know that the Sacramento Kings have 9 road wins on the season, including 1 in Dallas that only 2 other teams can claim they have done this season. I do know that they are one of just a few teams in the NBA right now that have a positive win-loss record both at home and on the road. And I do know that they're off to their best start since 2005. So regardless, we don't have to come to an agreement on whether or not the Kings are better off without Luka Doncic. We don't have to come to that. But we can just all see what the Kings are doing right now and recognize that regardless of if Luka would have helped or hurt it, he's not here and they're still succeeding. And I think the Dallas Mavericks are doing just fine. They're now 15-13 on the season, and Luka Doncic is going to take the mantle from Dirk Nowitzki if he hasn't already and be the star there and the leader there for hopefully years to come. And by the way, it's fantastic for the NBA that Luka Doncic is good because it helps get more attention on how talented how high the level of quality of basketball is on the European circuit. Their basketball there is very, very good, and there's going to hopefully be more Europeans like Luka Doncic that make their way over to the league. The Kings have not one that's as good as Luka, but still a great player in Bogdan Bogdanovic that's here. But I think the NBA got the best case scenario because the Kings got Marvin Bagley, who is succeeding, and the Kings are succeeding. The Mavericks got Luka Doncic, who's succeeding, and the Mavericks are succeeding. The NBA got the best case scenario with how everything played out. I think Luka's great. I'm going to root for him. I'm going to watch him, and I'm going to enjoy him as an NBA fan and a basketball fan. But I'm damn happy and proud that the Kings took Marvin Bagley and they're off to as good of a start as they are off to. You can deal with hypotheticals all you want. I'm going to deal with fact. The Kings, it's fact that they're playing this well and Luka Doncic is not on their roster. And it's fact that they beat Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks last night in Dallas. Now tonight, can they do it again? Can they build upon that win with another win on the road. This is game four of the 13-game stretch of doom. So far, they're off to a great start. 2-1 on this 13-game stretch. Really, they should be 3-0 if they were able to hold on to that lead against the Golden State Warriors, but that's in the past. Hindsight is 2020. We're moving on from that. Tonight, they're in Minnesota to take on a Timberwolves squad that they've beaten twice already. This is the final time these two are meeting this season. I guarantee you, the Minnesota Timberwolves are not going to want to be swept by the Kings this season. So the Minnesota Timberwolves are probably going to give a lot of effort here. They're going to fight with their backs against the wall. The Kings were definitely the better team against the Timberwolves just recently last week in Sacramento. However, the Kings probably will not have Iman Shumpert tonight and probably, or we know, will not have Marvin Bagley tonight. So how will that play an effect on this game? We'll have to wait and see. I expect the Kings to be in a position to win this game. I hope the Kings can win this game and complete the sweep, but I think the Timberwolves are going to be as deadly and as desperate as we have seen this season to avoid the sweep and to get back to winning ways as they're still trying to figure things out. So tonight should be a fantastic and fun game. If I were to throw a prediction out there, I'd say the Kings do get the win by just a couple of points. I think it's going to be a close game, a back and forth game. It's also the second night of a back-to-back, so the Kings have to make sure that they conserve their energy, they don't get too sluggish, and continue to build upon the momentum that they had. I want to see De'Aaron Fox string more good games together, so come off of that fantastic performance that you had, that 28 performance or point performance in Dallas, continue that. Add on to that tonight here with a big showing against the Timberwolves in Minnesota. So we will come back tomorrow on tomorrow's Locked On podcast, Locked On Kings podcast, and we'll break down this entire Kings and T-Wolves game. I'll have highlights and sound and everything from that for you, so you can definitely look forward to that. Thank you to everybody who listened to this podcast here today. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK on any time. Let me know you listen to the Locked On Kings podcast, and I'd be happy to follow you back and get into conversations with you there. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Until tomorrow, my friends, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.